Matthew and chapter 9. We're going to read three verses, and then we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 14 and read a couple of verses there as well. You'll notice that we again come to a portion of Scripture that I have dealt with here in the past. It is one of my favorites, and so I loved every opportunity I can to point to this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, and then down to verse 22. Verse 20 says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." And now over in chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, we'll read together from verse 34 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 14 and 34. "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading of his word for his name's sake. This morning I want us to consider what I am calling mercy's border. Mercy's border. But before we consider anything, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray for ourselves that the Lord may speak to us and deal with our hearts. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Jesus' sake that we are in this place. We thank Thee that we can open Thy Word. Now we pray that Thou will use Thy Word in our souls to direct us to the feet of the Lord Jesus Himself. We pray that Thou will cause us as we sit there to hear His voice, to feel His hand upon our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt cause us to see the work that He has done and know the heart that He had as He did that work. Lord, we pray that Thou will bless us with a sight of Christ. We pray that our souls would be taken up not with the words that we hear, but with the Savior that they present. Lord, we ask for a vision of the Lord Jesus again today. And we ask that Thou wilt minister to our hearts, for Father, we come before Thee, and we do say we are a needy people. We have much upon our souls that need the hand and the attention of God. We pray that Thou wilt undertake for us that we might be made to be more like Christ. Lord, help us today. Undertake for us is our plea. And Lord, I pray now that Thou wilt help me as Thy servant. I pray that Thou wilt fill my mind and my mouth with that which Thou hast ordained for the people of God to hear. Lord, do bless us all together. Close us in with Thyself, we pray, and anoint this time with both the blessing of God and the power of the Lord. And these things we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The first record of the touching of the hem of Christ's garment is recorded in our first reading this morning in Matthew chapter 9. What is interesting is that this thought, this action that we read of, is not something that God instructed His people to do. It's not something that this woman was told to do that she might be healed, as was the case perhaps with the blind man who was told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, or for another to rise and take up his bed and walk. This woman reached out her hand to touch the hem of the garment of Christ at her own initiative. It was the conclusion of her own heart. If I might but touch the hem of the garment of Christ, I know I'll be healed. No one instructed her that this was either appropriate or acceptable or an effective approach to Christ. We would have to say that it was faith that prompted her by the Holy Ghost and led this woman to stoop down to the ground, out of sight, behind the crowd, to extend her hand to touch the fringe of Christ's garment. And of course we read that the result was extraordinary. A contact with just a few fibers in the garment of Christ made this woman completely whole. You see, in other words, that the Lord did for her exactly what she was wishing for. Soon, the word was out and around the town. In fact, around the area. In fact, it was around the whole countryside. That all one had to do was to touch the border of Christ's garment, and they would be healed. And we see that those in Matthew chapter 14, those who were in Gennesaret, which would have been not close to where this woman was, it was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, over where the maniac was. Perhaps you'll remember that area of Gadara was in that eastern side, the Gennesaret area of the around the Dead Sea. And soon we read in Matthew chapter 14 that it became the practice of many to seek to touch the garment of Christ. And there was a great desire and a rampant practice in Christ's presence. You can imagine it, couldn't you, as Christ would walk through a crowd, the people now were on their knees just reaching out just to touch. And the statement was here, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. We sometimes think, oh, it was just the woman. Oh, it was more than that. Anyone who would touch the border of the garment of Christ was one who was made whole. I say there's a great lesson to be learned by this illustration. It is a lesson that instructs us about the true nature of access to God through Christ. We might ask ourselves, or we might have it in our minds, or from time to time go over this kind of thought, how difficult really is it for me to get to God? We say, by our confession, that is not difficult at all. That all we need to do is to seek Him through the name of Jesus Christ, and we have access into the presence of God. That's what our confession says. That's what we would declare from our own personal creed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what does our practice say? What does our heart say? What does your heart tell you about how easy is it to get to God? You know, there's many times that we just say, I can't get to God, isn't it? Isn't that the case? I just don't find that I can get to the Lord. There's something that's in the way, or there's something that prevents me. And so we find ourselves oftentimes operating under the assumption that it is difficult to come to the Lord. This morning I would say that the touching of the garment is a lesson to us. I say it is God's lesson to our hearts, those of us who find ourselves struggling with faith, struggling with the knowledge that it truly is my place to come up before the God at all times. I say that this touching of the garment is a lesson in our ready access to God. When it speaks of the border of Christ's garment, I think we might stress that that border is the place where many found mercy. Where is the border of mercy? The very bottommost part of the garment of Christ. Say there's an imagery here that we should look at. And we should consider, and I have a very simple message this morning with just some very simple practical thoughts. I want us to consider this garment, this border, this hem, if you will, And I want us to see three things about it. First, I want to point out to you that here we have a hymn, yes, but in reality it was the Lord's heart. The hem of the garment, we look at that, we see that, we can... Oh, but I suggest to you that that very bottommost part of the garment was where indeed the Lord's heart was, because the Lord touched many and healed them there. My point is simply this: to touch Christ at all is to touch Him in His heart. For you to touch Christ at all, even in the most remote part of His garment, so to speak, is to touch the heart of Christ. You say, how so? Well, let's think about it for a moment. You know, I think this woman concluded, or was thinking, that she didn't know whether she would be readily received to the Lord or not. That's why she did what she did. I think that the way in which the woman approached the Lord Jesus, on her knees, cowering down, just sort of, as it were, just barely putting the finger out, maybe not, don't notice, I say that that is a way that is common among the people of God, oftentimes, to approach God. I don't think that we are afraid that the Lord will do us evil, or the Lord will hurt us in some way, or He'll correct us or chasten us sorely if we were to approach Him. You know, I think the thing that keeps most of us from approaching our God as readily as we should is the wondering, how will the Lord receive me? How will He deal with me? How well will I be received when I come up before His throne and I have to bring all the pollution and the corruption of my diseased soul, a soul diseased by sin? That was this woman's situation. And I think most of us feel that because we operate that way in life. You know, we wonder how people are going to receive us. I can think of many times. Well, I'll just suggest one to you. I can think of many times when I was wondering whether I should knock on a certain person's door, or I'm thinking more of a teacher's door. I'm thinking in this framework. Should I knock? I wonder how I'll be received there. I remember I had one particular teacher in high school. Math and I are not friends. You know, I had to take 4 years of math because I had to. It was forced upon me by the kind of program that I was in. I had a math teacher who he was just hard, and I remember having consultations with him three or four times because I was not getting what it was that he was trying to teach. And I remember a couple of times I'd come to where, you know, after the class was over, or come to his office, and I don't know whether I should knock. Yes. Oh no, I'm dead already. I haven't even come in the room. And I would come in, and I remember a couple of times him chewing me up one side and down the other. How dare I have the gall to come in and speak to him about this problem because I wasn't listening. He could tell I wasn't listening in class. How dare I come in and waste his time? You've all been there. You've been to the place where, should I approach this person or not? Should I approach this family member with this issue or not, because I don't know how well I'll be received? You know what I'm talking about. But here's my statement to you. We oftentimes, do we not come to our God just that way? We wonder how it is that our God will look at us. We look at ourselves and we conclude, oh, how much is wanting. How much is wrong here? How much there is that would be unlovely, and I wouldn't want to have to behold it. And yet now I have to come to my God with all these things. How will I be received? And I ask you, child of God, am I not right? Do we not hesitate coming before our God? Because we wonder how we will be received. I say, this is an issue. that we deal with. And I think that there's another misperception that causes us to hesitate in coming to the feet of the Lord. I think we have a misperception that we must have the feeling that beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have gained God's ear if we are to have our prayers answered, or above that, the joy of having our prayers answered. Unless I can know for certain that I have met with God and God's, I've gotten God's ear, then I'm just not sure that I can ever really have the joy that I know that I will have my prayers answered. Oh, let me ask you this. Child of God, if you're just looking at your own feelings, do you ever feel that you've completely gained the ear of God? Do your feelings suggest that to you? Is it possible, I would ask, for the people of God to know that they have obtained the ear of God? It is a matter of holding, I say, to the Word of God. We hold to God's Word as being absolutely true, and we rest on by faith on what it says, not on our feelings. What does the Scripture say? Christ tells us in John chapter 14 and again in John chapter 15 about asking in His name. And He does what? He says, I will what? I will do it. Don't we sometimes read that as we're reading through the portion of Scripture and say, oh, that's a wonderful promise. But in our minds we have a little check within ourselves that goes, but, oh, that's true, I may ask, but, you know, I must have this overwhelming feeling within my own soul that I have achieved getting before the ear of God or obtaining the ear of God before I can ever have a joy. Oh, let us say, it's not for us to be trying to figure out how we feel or how God feels. That's not the place of the people of God. We are rather to calculate God's character and His truthfulness to His Word. God says it. Is He true? Then I can have an assurance. I don't rest on my feelings. I don't rest on how I come away from my time of prayer. I don't look at how I perceive God to feel about me as to whether I look at being in the place of prayer, being before Him as successful or not. It is indeed God's character and His truthfulness to His Word that I must rest on. But then there's a third thing that I would present. The truth that is being presented is that if we but touch the furthest and most remote portion of Christ's person, every need, no matter how extreme, is fully met. That's what you see here. Child of God, if you could but touch the most remote part of the person of Christ, everything that you need will be helped. Everything that you need will be changed. Everything that you need will be healed. If you could but touch the furthest part away from the heart of Christ, you will be healed. I say that is a lesson that is here. And I say, how often we feel that we might barely touch the throne of God, and that we get just enough grace to help us scrape through our difficulties. Do you not feel that way sometimes? Oh, I come up before the throne, and yes, I believe I've touched the throne, but God gives me just enough grace to get through my difficulty, and that's all He'll ever do, is really just give me just enough. But to find the whole heart of God coming toward us with all the love of heaven, well, that's not something that we could even imagine. As I was sitting in my study this morning, getting ready for our time, I oftentimes get some strange thoughts and say, yeah, we've been able to tell. It just sort of started clicking through my mind, and I just had to chuckle. You know, we as Christians sometimes could, maybe we ought to write a new hymn. We think that the Lord only gives us just enough grace to get us through. Yes, I touch Him and I'll squeak through, but just barely. And my mind started thinking, well, maybe we need to include a new hymn called Barely Enough. You know that tune, Whiter Than Snow? It just started going through my head. Barely enough. Yes, barely enough. Now I have just prayed and I shall have barely enough. You know, it's just going through. That's how we act. The Lord will give me just enough. But the thing that's being told to us here, what the Lord is speaking to us about, what the Lord ought to be teaching us, what you ought to be hearing this morning is simply this: if I but touch Christ, even in the smallest way, at the furthest point, I'll have all that I need. And it doesn't mean that I have to be a certain type of person or not. You see that it was those people who were in Gadara, those people who were... By many estimations, those who were not careful, law-observing Jews, the Lord would walk through the streets, and many would say, these are heathen. If they would touch, would they receive? Yes, indeed. And the fourth thing that I would point out would be this: the truth of the matter is that we, as the people of God, never do touch the remote part. You know, we think, if I could just touch the smallest, most... But no, that never happens. Because, child of God, we are forever joined to Christ at the heart. When you touch Christ, you touch His heart. John chapter 15. The Lord Jesus tells His disciples in that great... Yes, pastorly word before He's taken from them. That word of a master to his servant. He says, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. And then down further in the chapter, He says, as the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love. Even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. The Lord is simply stating to us, you don't dwell, child of God, you don't dwell in that place where all you can do is but touch the hem of His garment, because you are joined at the heart with Jesus Christ. So when you touch Him, when your hand reaches out as it were by faith, so that you, like the poor man of the Psalms, this poor man cried, I say, your cry falls upon the heart of God. And so I might ask, what's the need of your heart today? What is the need of your heart today? I would call upon you to reach out to Christ by faith. And I say, you will not find that you have touched just the hem of His garment. You will find that you have touched His heart. You can just see this woman, though. And I think we are so like this woman. This is why I love this passage. I think there's just so many things about this woman that I find in my own soul and find also in the souls of those around me. You can just almost see the woman calculating, though, as she would start to think about reaching out, but what if I may not reach it? What if He passes a little bit too far away? What if I get by, again, here goes my mind, what if I get behind a couple of big strong men and their strong legs are set there and I'm trying to reach out and I can't budge and the Lord just goes a little bit too far and I can't reach Him? You know, sometimes we think, oh, there's this sin. Here's this sin and then here's this sin. And there are a couple of strong men. And it would be, even though I would be on my knees and I would reach through to try to touch Christ, it might be that those sins are too strong and I can't reach Him. Or there's something that's too strong, there's a circumstance. Or here you have unbelief on the one hand.
And you have selfish pride on the other, standing as a strong man. I can't reach him. Let me tell you what I firmly believe. That even though there might have been a situation where that woman would have said, my arm is too short. I can't, you know what I firmly believe would have happened? There would have been a wind from heaven that would have blown that hem over to her hand. Oh, child of God, sometimes we think that the Lord is waiting for us to see if we can touch His garment. When the real story is, no, the Lord's garment is waiting to see if we'll just but reach out the hand. Oh, if we will but reach out to Christ, He'll come and He'll make us, He'll put us into contact with that which we need. You just see all kinds of things. A woman might be there thinking, well, what if somebody kicks me over? I'm down on my knees. I'm weak as it is. I've had this issue for 12 years now, eating me up, and I'm so weak. What if somebody just rolls me over? Or I sometimes may fall over. Oh, child of God. I say, if you will but stretch the hand forth to Christ, the Lord will make everything else occur. We might ask, well, what about my weakness? You think about this woman. She had been in her state for 12 years. Well, I say, even though she was very weak, the Lord would come to where her finger was. You know, I think there's something that was sort of interesting to me, too. Where was Christ going when He passed by this woman? He was going to the house of Jairus to lift Jairus' little daughter from what was now her deathbed. She was dead. How old was Jairus' daughter? She was 12 years old. When you read about this woman being in the state of her condition, how long had she been in the state of her condition? 12 years. You'd have to say, no, wait a minute, there was something about this day, this moment, if you will, that had been ordained by God to begin 12 years ago. Both in this woman and this little girl, they both would be at this point on this day for this purpose, for Christ to show that He was not only victorious over life and death, but at the uttermost limits, as it were, of the border of His mercy, if a man will but touch, he shall be healed. This day was an appointed day. And the Lord would not let that woman go without touching His garment. And I say, child of God, you have been purposed by your Heavenly Father to be made into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So does Paul say in Philippians chapter 1, He that hath begun the good work, and you shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord is making us more and more like Christ. And the day when you would reach out the hand for the help of God is a day that your Father has appointed for your help. Hallelujah. It's not all dependent upon you. It's not all dependent upon whether you can get to Christ. I say it is that the Lord has appointed for the garment to be blown your way. And He's wanting for you to but extend the finger. You know what? I think, and this I'm being facetious here, but I think if that woman had had the withered arm, like the man in the temple, and all she could do would have been to stretch forth her finger, the garment would have met her. The Lord was wanting to see what in this woman. What was it that He said had saved her and made her whole? What was it that the Lord declared to be that which He saw and caused her to be of good cheer, daughter, be of good comfort? What was it? Faith. Faith. Faith that would stretch out. Faith that would simply say, I will come to Jesus. And you find out that Jesus does everything else. I say it was a hem, but it was in reality the Lord's heart, because the Lord meant for this woman to be helped. And He showed His heart. And the second thing I would point out to you was a hem But in reality, it was also the Lord's righteousness.
I think there is a weight that is on the heart of any man who would come to Christ in an hour of his need, when he needs to be helped of Christ, whether it's a matter of sin or a matter of the Lord's undertaking for his affliction or his lot in life. I think there's a weight that weighs on the heart of any man, and that would be, but look at what I've been. Look at what I've been. I cannot come. The Lord sees my pollution. You know, really, I think when you consider the illness that this woman has, that would be a very real concern for this woman. The Lord can see my pollution. The Lord can see the evidences of my illness. He'll not want to look on me. Oh, I'm a disgrace and I'm repulsive. I am one that nobody wants to have anything to deal with. Oh, child of God, do we not come before our God oftentimes feeling the unworthiness of our hearts, feeling how much the pollution of our soul is at the very front of things? Oh, my pollution is not something I keep way down in the depths of my heart. We oftentimes say it's something that I wear on the outside just like a badge and everybody can see it. Certainly the Lord won't want to help. And I believe that this was absolutely in the front of this woman's mind. And I say this is the whole reason why she decided to sneak a touch rather than to come boldly to the face of the Lord Jesus and say, as that leper did, Lord, help me. She felt, I am so worthy, I am so polluted, I'll just sneak behind these big men who stand here and I'll reach through and I'll just catch his garment as it comes along the, oh, maybe an inch from the ground, because that's where I live. I live an inch from the ground. That's as high as I can lift my eyes. That's as high as I can possibly bring my heart. That's as high as my faith can rise, an inch from the ground. And that's where I'll reach through and touch the Lord, because I know He'll see my unworthiness and I know He'll see my pollution. And so she sneaks forth her finger. And I say, when you look at this woman, although she was one that was burdened down because of this, you'd have to say her need drove her forward, but her fear of being seen drove her to crawling. And I would say, how are we like this? How often we find ourselves coming to the Lord in just this way? I say, but see the mind of the Lord and the intent that He has for those who hold out the hand. I would have you to consider with me Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, where the Lord talks about the transformation of those who are unlovely. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, the prophet does. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, I would say to you, child of God, in the first place under this head, that we need not worry about how righteous we are when we come to Christ for healing and for restoration. This is one lesson that we see here. You need not wonder, you need not worry about how righteous, or rather, may I put it this way, unrighteous you are. You know, the sentiment is, we oftentimes get in our minds, I will come when I am better. But the question you have to ask right back in the face of that is, how are you going to become better? If you're going to wait to come before to the Lord Jesus until such a time that you are better, how are you going to become better? You know what we really mean when we say, well, I'll come back when I'm better, or when I... It's sometimes we feel like, well, I'll come back when I have forgotten my sin and the weight of my guilt is not quite so heavy on my heart. That's what we're really saying. Not that we're any better, because we know that we can't be. And to be blunt, you haven't any good thing anyway, and no matter how hard you try, you'll not come up with anything that's without the taint of self and sin about it. Oh, no. The child of God, I say, from this incident, is taught that you don't need to worry about the righteousness that you have. The second thing is, that we are taught that the smallest touch of the remotest corner of the garment of Christ's righteousness completely turns aside the curse. If I touch Christ, that which is of the curse to me is turned aside now. Oh God, I will praise Thee. Though Thou wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. We read it this morning. But the woman's plague was completely taken away. What happened to that woman's plague? You ever wonder about things? Again, here's my mind going. What happened to that woman's plague? She was on her knees at one moment, filled with a disease, and with just a little touch, the next moment she was completely whole. What happened to her disease? You say, well, physically, something transformed, metabolically, something changed within her. Okay. You know what my thought is? Her disease passed from her unto Christ. You say, how do you know that? Well, I just simply rest on what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 53. It says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That which was against us, that which was of the curse, that which came upon us because of sinfulness, all that came upon mankind because of Adam's curse, when it comes to one whose faith is stretched toward Christ, that is removed and placed on Him. But I would also say that the truth of the matter is that we are not just those who touch the hem, but we are those who wear the entire garment of Christ's righteousness. And we might ask, or might make the statement, if the flood of God's power is unto those who but touch the garment, how much more certain is the blessing of God upon those that wear the garment entirely? If you wear Christ's garment, not touching just the border, but now you wear the garment itself, it is your garment, can you not expect that your God is going to do as much or more as He did for one who would but touch the hem? Oh, I say, be sure of this, child of God, Christ's garment of righteousness is effectual for your help. You may be lying in the dust of the gutter, but the righteousness of Christ that becomes yours is your help with God. But there's another point. This instructs us, this whole act of this woman but touching the border of the hem. The border of the hem? Yeah, how about that? She touched the border of the hem of the garment. What lesson do we learn? Well, that also instructs us that we need go no further in our religious exercises than the righteousness of Christ. We don't need to look for anything more. We don't need to be involved with duties or activities of religious nature. Oh, you wish you could preach a message like this to every Roman Catholic. Oh, you don't need to be entering into the confessional booth. There's nothing for you by saying Hail Mary full of grace. There's nothing that's going to help you by burning a candle or climbing some stairs or repeating Our Fathers or whatever it is. There's no help. It is faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is given to them that trust in Him that is your help. My last thought is this. Here we see a hem, but in reality the Lord's glory. Psalm 104 verse 1 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and glory. I say there's much here that also speaks of the glory of the Lord. Christ is one that is anointed with and crowned with glory. You know, we might say that the cause for Christ's glory is the fact that He is God, and therefore glory surrounds Him. And I would say that is very true, that the glory of the Godhead does rest upon the second person of the Godhead because He is God. But one thing I would point you to, child of God, and I think perhaps this might be an encouragement to your soul, is that Christ has not chosen that reason alone as to why He is clothed with glory.
But primarily, the cause of his glory, we are shown, is that God has chosen that everlasting glory should be upon Jesus Christ because of his redeeming work. That is his great glory. You say, how so? How can you say that? Well, we have that revealed in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, saying, and I quote, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I say the substance of the glory of Christ is that he is a redeemer of God's own. He is the Savior of sinful men. But we must also see, you say, well, why are you telling us all this? Well, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus is not the possessor of glory just for his own sake. There's a very interesting picture that comes to us in Psalm 133. It says, "How good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment." The glory of the Lord, that with which he is anointed, as it were, and this is the picture of Aaron and his being anointed and it running down. That which is put upon the head of Christ runs down even to the hem of his garment. And I say that the image is that of the good and the preciousness and the glory and the power of the ointment is flowing down to where Christ meets his people. We are in union with Christ, and his glory runs down to the good of his people. You say, what are you saying? This, that all the purchased glories and graces which are lavished upon the head of Jesus Christ, those things that come to Christ as a result of his successful work on the cross, all the grace and all the power that are given to Christ as a result of his work flow down, as it were, to where he is in contact with his people. All of the grace that Christ purchased on the cross is available for his people. It is for us. All the exaltations of Christ's work as priests are mine. And all that which is given to him, I can have as my help. I say, all the treasures of heaven and all the power of God is accessible for those who will but lift a finger. There's the point. Child of God, what do you need? What do you need to have the Lord do? What grace do you need? What help do you need? What uplifting do you need? What problem do you have in your soul that needs to be healed? If you're like me, I can see you sitting there thinking in your own mind, "Oh, I have this. And if only I could do something about it. If only I could." Child of God, there is no only if I could. The lesson here is, do you have a need, child of God? Does your soul have something that it needs to have dealt with by your God? Is there something within you that needs to be healed? Then what needs to happen from you? Only this. That you, in faith, reach out to Christ. There's the point of it. That's the message of it. Reach out to Christ. Reach out to Christ. Everything flows down from God as a blessing and a treasure. It flows down to the border of the garments. And all you have to do is to touch the garment. You say, I can't. Well, then wait for Christ to bring the garment to you. It's been appointed. He will surely come. Oh, we think this is just an incident that tells us of the tenacity and the determination and the right calculations of a woman in distress. No, that's not the lesson at all. It's just simply that you've got a woman who was so bent over because of all the things she found within herself that she couldn't raise herself up. She couldn't bring herself to face Christ. But she could bring herself to reach out to Christ. And the Lord came near. And the furthest most part of the Lord is filled with power. The furthest most part, if you want to put, of the Lord's garment is filled with abundant grace. Oh, child of God, will you reach out to Christ this morning? Will you ask Him for His help? Will you reach out but to touch the hem of His garment? He'll help you. He'll undertake so that you might hear the testimony of your Savior in your own ear, son or daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord is going to lift from you necessarily the physical affliction that He did from this woman, but what does it mean? Your heart. Oh, your heart will be made whole. Will you do it this morning? Child of God, will you turn to the Lord and will you stretch out that finger and say, Lord, I need help here. I need help. I'll stretch out the finger, as it were. Oh, let me touch Christ. Oh, let me touch. But what I see is the outermost edge. And find out that really it was indeed the heart that you touched. And it was the power of God. Amen. May the Lord bless His own word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, with this day we come to Thee and we do ask, O God, that Thou wouldst help us by this Holy Spirit's power not to be those who hesitate, not to be those who wait until we feel a certain way about ourselves or about Thyself before we come. But Lord, may we find ourselves being a people who do wholly cast ourselves upon the Lord Jesus, that we rest upon Him for our answer to all that our heart needs, that we would not look at any other single thing as being that which can be our help, save touching the Lord Jesus. Now, O God, I pray that Thou wilt continue to use Thy word in the hearts of these that are here. I pray, O God, that Thou wilt bless it all together, and may we rejoice as we contemplate indeed how wonderful our Savior is to us and how faithful He is as our help. Lord, bless us now. Keep us close to Thy heart, we pray. Return with us again this night, and may we hear from Thee again. From Thy word we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.